Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. I'm your host, Maria Wall. And as always, I want to thank you all for joining me here this evening for this, our post-summit show tonight. I'm just going to be recapping some of the wonderful things that went on at the summit, along with letting you know about some of our upcoming guests. We also have tonight a special guest who will be joining us, Reverend Patricia Saunders, and she's going to be telling us a little bit about her organization. She was one of our wonderful guests at the summit, and before I even get started, I'm going to bring Patricia on.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
Thank you so much for joining me here tonight. I know I was just telling our listeners about you and your wonderful program. We're going to get into that in a moment.
Okay.
After I give some announcements, of course.
Okay.
As I stated, Reverend Saunders was one of our guests at the summit last week. And we've been talking or conversing for a while today, and she has a wonderful program out of Washington, D.C., and we're going to be getting to know that program quite well. But before we get started, again, as I said, this is our post-summit show. If you'd like to give us a call, our number is 646-478-4726. Again, 646-478-4726. We're going to be recapping some of the information that was shared at the summit. A lot of it, special thanks to all of our speakers, Angela Davis and actress and author Latricia Hendricks, Sunshine King, Reverend Wayne S. Price, and our spoken word artist, of course, Michelle Johnson of Johnson Technical Services, LLC, and Adrienne Richardson, who she makes this wonderful, wonderful, what we call body souffle. You guys really do have to go to our website, thewallfoundationinc.org, and click on events to find her 11-7 icon. And when you click on that, it'll take you to her website. It's a wonderful product that this young lady has done. Great, great product, and special thanks to all of our wonderful vendors, Angela Lewis of Angela's Afrocentric Hair Braiding. She's been one of my biggest fans for a long time now, and special thanks to you, Nicole Macri of Cupcake Therapy. We're going to talk about some cupcake therapy in a bit. Of course, Adrienne Richardson of 11-7 Organics, Lydia Holloway, who was there to support Nicole and myself, and she is a licensed therapist. So if any of you listening needs a good therapist, I will give you that information. Just shoot me an email or give us a call. And, of course, special thanks to Natalie Tarver for her songs of inspiration. Wonderful, wonderful, dynamic ladies and gentlemen who really helped us out a lot and made my dream of our first annual summit such a success. And with that said, one of our guests at the summit was Reverend Patricia Saunders, and she heads up an organization that is called DC Alliance Empowering Homicide Survivors. Did I get that right?
Yes.
And, of course, I'd like for you to tell some of our listeners a little bit about your organization, because I think that you're doing great things, and, you know, I think that maybe this will help to get that word out even more on subjects that people tend to shy away from.
Mm-hmm. Well, first, let me just thank you for the opportunity, number one, to have attended your summit, and let me congratulate you on an awesome job, so well-rounded and so diverse, and on a topic that's much, much needed. So thank you so much. I really enjoyed being there and listening to all of the participants. So I just want to wish you well and want you to continue that great work. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight and to your listening audience. DC Alliance Empowering Homicide Survivors is an organization that's reaching out into the community of Washington, D.C., to those families who have lost loved ones to homicide. There are a lot of organizations for domestic violence, for substance abuse, for sexual assaults, et cetera, but we are specifically working directly with homicide victims. If you've never experienced a homicide within your family, it's a devastating, absolute devastating thing to happen and occur. And there are many families that are still grieving some 20 years later. To have a loved one taken from you is a tremendous loss. So some of the things that we try to provide for the families is our availability at the time of the death when it occurs. We go in to talk with the families, provide them with information and services based upon what their needs are. Many times people do not know about crime victims' compensation. Washington, D.C. has one of the leading organizations out of every state that provides immediate financial assistance to help the families with burial assistance as well as cemetery. So we direct those families to those services that they need at the time that a death has occurred. Assist them sometimes with finding a location to have their service, minister to perform the ceremony services, as well as repass locations, buying them clothing. Sometimes they don't even have clothing to bury their loved ones. So we try to make sure that this family's needs are met and that they understand that all of the privileges and rights that are given to them by the District of Columbia through this great program called Crime Victims Compensation, that they are educated and aware of what they are entitled to. So it's just our pleasure to reach out and touch the families at a time when they truly need help and need those services. DC Alliance also take it a step further, that once the funeral is over, we're still there. We have a pastoral care program that continues calling and continuing to minister to them and trying to help them through this entire process. And we do that for a year because we want to be there if they need someone. Not everyone that experienced a homicide is connected with a church or have any affiliation with a church or pastor. So having a pastoral care provider there that will respond to them upon their need is a great benefit. And at many times, if they've got to go to court, we have a court advocate accompaniment that can go with them, sit there, hold their hand through that process. So we just try to, you know, serve them to meet whatever they need, not what we want to do for them, but what it is that they're requesting from us. Some of the other services that we provide, we just sponsored a conference in April. It was a conference for pastors, bishops, priests, clergy across Washington, D.C., trying to stress training and teaching and educational sessions for them so that they can develop a domestic violence program within the church. Why did we decide to do that? Because if you think about it, within the church, there is the perpetrator and there is the victim why not provide service for them because they're right there? So that's why we had this conference, to educate them and to encourage them to do that, as well as if they don't have a program, we could go in and provide that technical assistance for them to help those victims. And so the service is going on. We've got a pro bono legal team where we actually are working with an attorney that is an advocate for all criminal cases. And so if there is a family that is in need of an attorney to represent them in court, there is an attorney that works with us directly pro bono. It costs the family nothing to get this service. So we just try to be well-rounded in terms of the service that they need, meeting the need, following them through so that they know that we're there for them. At the end of the year, we try to send them a card to just say, we still care, we're still concerned, we thank you for going through our program, through the system. If there's any further assistance that's needed, you can always call them, but we definitely want to follow them for a year.
Wow. You know, I'm not aware of any program like that that I've heard of here in the Baltimore metro area. I'm not too sure if they do. If anyone knows of a program, feel free to give us a call and let us know. But that is such a powerful, powerful thing that you're doing, because, you know, once something, a tragedy like that happens, the first thing that you feel is isolation and alone many times.
Absolutely.
And then you could have a room full of people, and if this person didn't have insurance or, you know, they didn't have any other resources, you're just sitting up there with a room full of people, and no one knows what to do next.
Right.
And it's good to know that there's a program such as yours out there that really, you know, can help these people, these survivors make it through.
Right. Because, you know, at the time of the funeral, everybody comes in for the funeral. The crowd is there. When the funeral is over, that's the lonely period. That's the period where we are most needed. And that's why I'm so happy that that's when we're there, because when everybody is gone, that's a difficult time for the families.
And another thing that I wanted to inquire about, I guess, is the fact that you're in the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one thing that media is good for is hyping up the negativity. Most of the times you see where a lot of young people are being killed through gang violence and things like that. Is that the main thing? Is that the main crime that you're seeing the victims come from, or is it a you know, a mixture of, you know, as we had spoken earlier, you know, we had talked about the fact that some people die from domestic violence. It has nothing to do with, you know, crimes, or they're not necessarily always young people that are dying. They could be older people. And, you know, I was just wondering what the statistical breakdown is of, you know, are you seeing more young people? Is it a pretty even split of who you help?
Well, you really can't measure it to that degree, because we have had people 60 years old, 70 years old, that's been a victim of a homicide. But what we found is that there are people that are transitioning from the prisons, coming back into the community, and they go back to those same old grounds that they used to go to, and they get killed. So age is just really not a factor when it comes to death. And there's a lot of drive-by shootings that's going on right now. One of the things that I wanted to share in reference to that is there was a massive shooting in Washington, D.C. not very long ago. I think there was about 15 people that, I think six of them were killed, and many were injured. And so happened that the gun that was used by this young man came from a different country, was not even made in the United States. And actually, this kind of gun is used actually in Afghanistan, in the war. So the young man was 15 years old, and yes, he was guilty of committing this crime. But the thing that I like to look at is, let's get to the root of where our problems lie. Who is manufacturing these guns and bringing them into this country and putting them into the hands of our young people? And this is a serious issue. A lot of people do not want to discuss or talk about gun control, but the guns and the amount of guns that are in our city now, it's just too much. And people don't want to talk about it, but there's a lot of people making so much money with all of these guns. And so they are really being infiltrated within our community, placed in these young people's hands, and naturally, it's a natural reaction to pull a trigger. So, you know, that's just another serious problem. But, again, back with domestic violence, one of the things that I had an opportunity to present at the D.C. Fatality Review Board, where they review really heavy cases, those high-profile cases, to try to find out from the beginning to the end, you know, was everything done correctly, what was not done correctly, and they really, just like an operation, actually, dissect this whole entire process to discover that many of the homicides occurred in domestic violence, where these cases, domestic violence issues were going on for years and just constantly kept perpetuating until it ended up in a homicide. So domestic violence is real, and it's even starting to affect our teens. There are teen dating violence it's a rage right now. And some of the young girls and young men, they don't know what to do. So having programs out here today to try to help them to understand what their rights are and how they need to report domestic violence, how they need to call the police. And these are the things that's needed, but the silent killer is domestic violence because women are afraid to call the police. They are afraid to tell someone that they are being abused.
Wow, and that's so true. And, you know, to get back on that subject a bit about the domestic violence, I believe I had shared it with you earlier, is that a lot of times when you go for help, help that's supposed to be there for you is not very helpful at all.
That's right.
You know, I told you that I shared the frustrations of trying to get people to give me feedback just from when I was still putting together the summit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the liaison for Baltimore County Police, I left her a detailed message. She never returned my call,
mm-hmm.
never. I'm still waiting for her to return my call today, mm-hmm. and the summit was last week.
Correct.
And, you know, you write to some of your political representatives, no response. It's almost like domestic violence is a subject that no one wants to touch.
Correct.
And with Domestic Violence Month coming up next month in October,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that it's an election year, and then they all want to jump out of the woodwork and be, yeah, we're all for it until we're reelected, and then you won't be able to talk to us about it anymore.
Correct.
And these are like some of the problems that I'm finding.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to have to say this, but even with dealing with Turnaround, you know, the organization that's set up to help people going through domestic violence and such, and they work between Baltimore County, Baltimore City,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not sure where else, but I know those two jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Baltimore County, which their office is in Towson, they referred me to Baltimore City for some reason, and Baltimore City said, well, we'll get back to you. Well, I'm still waiting for Turnaround to get back
right.
to me.
Right.
So, you know, it's sad when you have all of these people out here who are in these terrible situations, and when they get up enough courage to try to get help, help is forsaking them terribly across the board.
Right.
And, you know, I sincerely hope that someone in these jurisdictions hears this and understands that.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I went through.
Right.
So, you know, when you don't have anyone to turn to, and the next thing you know, someone will be contacting your organization because that person stayed there and they were killed.
Right. Well, I had an experience this past Sunday. It was a domestic violence situation. I received a phone call, and the woman had a 12-year-old daughter, and she needed to find shelter. Now, you can get a dog in a shelter quicker than you can get a human being.
Yep.
I literally called 20 shelters for this mother and her daughter. and no one had anything available. This happened to be on a Sunday, so the couple that I was able to find, well, you have to wait till Monday. Anything can happen between Sunday and Monday, but there's nothing out there to accommodate this mother and daughter. The other issue is that there are some shelters will not even take children, period. They only want to take care of the mother. Well, what does the mother do with her 12-year-old child when her home is in Philadelphia? All of her family's in Philly. She has no money to get to Philly. What does this woman do? So this is an absolute, you know, it's a disaster to be in a situation where you feel definitely there is no place to go. And this is exactly how this woman felt. The blessing that happened, I called, we have a transitional house at our church for women and children. So I was able to have this young lady to call our church, and we were able to accommodate her. But just think, if that was not available, she still would have been homeless in the street with a 12-year-old daughter.
Exactly. And that's where the problem comes in at. And I think, you know, we can have summits all year, if need be, to raise awareness to these types of problems, because mm-hmm. It's becoming an epidemic, pandemic,
absolutely,
you know, global problem.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we need to work together,
right,
to, you know, make, you know, people aware of what's going on. Because, you know, a lot of times people, they ignore something or they don't want to get involved until it happens to them.
Absolutely.
And the minute that it happens to them, then they want everyone to be at their beckoning call.
Correct.
It's like, why can't I get any help? But it's like when we ask you for your support and to get involved before, you waved your hand and brushed it off.
Right.
Because it didn't, you know, pertain to you.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And then many times we also have to realize that sometimes, you know, people have to get real and they have to be serious. This is nothing to play with. It, you know, if you're a woman or if you are a man, there are men that's also going through domestic violence.
Yes.
Just like women. And the problem here is that I'm finding that with talking to the police department within the Division of Domestic Violence, many times women will call and change their mind. They'll call,
yep,
after the police come and arrest him. No, I don't want him arrested. No, I don't want him to have a record. Let me say to you, audience, don't play with it. If a man has hit you once, it's a guarantee he'll hit you again. That will not stop, okay? And so you need to make sure that it's reported. You need to stick to that and make sure that the person does not assault you again. That is an assault. It's domestic, but it's an assault. So we have to be very proactive with making sure that we don't allow them to do this.
Exactly. And not only that, but, you know, a lot of people say, well, he's never hit me, but there's other signs that,
absolutely,
you need to be aware of other than him hitting you. If he threatens bodily harm to you,
absolutely,
or your children or any of that, you have,
absolutely,
to know that, oh, no, this is not right. And
right,
then, of course, you have to have enough courage to be able to go and tell that judge,
uh-huh,
or the commissioner, whomever, that he's threatening to kill me or to cause my children harm.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we do. I've seen it even when I was in court, where women come in and I was speaking with someone who's in the court system, and she said they were in one of the courtrooms, and the judge said, okay, any of you that are having second thoughts, tell me now, get up and go.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me now, because I'm not even going to waste my time today.
That's,
and, you know, it's bad enough, and it's intimidating when most of the times we go before male judges,
mm-hmm,
and this is speaking for me, I'm a female, from the female's point of view,
right,
you're already uncomfortable and intimidated.
Right.
And then they act like they're doing you a favor or you're getting on their nerves.
Right.
You know,
right,
there's no compassion from the bench, you, mm-hmm, know, from that
mm-hmm,
bench whatsoever.
Right.
There's no compassion. And you know it, and you have,
right,
to go in there with your mind right to say, I'm going to tell my story, see,
mm-hmm,
what this person has to say, If I don't get it this time, I'm going to fight and come right back and file again.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I attended a domestic violence program earlier part of this year, and actually Glenn Ivey was one of the speakers. And one of the things that he has said that it's important for the community to do, we need to take some time and go to these court hearings, sit in the courtroom, and start observing some of these judges and the decisions that they're making and how they're handling certain cases, because this needs to be reported. And
right.
He was encouraging people to do that. That's the only way things can change. Once we can get people to go observe and find the behaviors of the way the judges are handling some of these cases, this is what needs to be reported. And I was so glad that he shared that, and I'm sharing it with other people because that's what we need to do.
And we do, I know here we do have, it's a league or a group of attorneys who go into certain courtrooms. Of course, whenever I had gone, there was no one there. But a lot of times they also deal with the fact that you have friends and family that are under the false impression that you're doing this to hurt your abuser. And why you do that? He's a nice guy or she's a great girl. And it's like, again, this is somebody on the outside looking in. Most people don't understand that there has to be some people out there that have enough courage to tell their story in order for that individual to heal, but they're also helping someone else who's still sitting in silence.
That's right.
And most people don't understand that particular concept of it all. But it's about healing thyself, but also, you know, being that light at the end of the tunnel to help someone who's afraid and does not know what to do.
That's
where the problem comes in at. No one wants to just have an open mind and think, you know what, this isn't personal. I didn't go through it.
Right.
You know, this person did.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many organizations out there that are looking for people who are willing to tell their story. It doesn't matter if a textbook junkie tells you, oh, well, you know, you're supposed to do this and that. That has no bearing on someone.
Mm-hmm.
When people say, you don't understand because you have not walked a mile in my shoes, they mean that.
That's right.
And it means more when they're listening to or speaking with or conversing with someone who has walked a mile in those shoes.
Right.
Or who may still be in those shoes.
Right. And you
so
know,
that's the difference.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. And the other thing that's very critical about this whole process is that, and I don't know if there are any statistics to prove this, and this may be some research that I may have to do, but we do not know from an individual person that's going through domestic violence in the fear of what they're going through, not able to handling it, how many of those ended up in a suicide? It didn't end up in a homicide. It ended up in a suicide because they couldn't take it anymore. And so you're going to just diagnose, this is just a suicide, but nobody really will ever know what this person was going through, the suffering and the pain and the agony and the frustration of silence and fear. Okay, so instead of calling the police that won't hear me, won't represent me, won't help me, okay, is not trying to protect me. Some women have a very hard problem even getting a protective order or a restraining order. It's just not an easy process for some women. So their choice is, let me just take my life. So think about how devastating it could be to be in a domestic violence relationship for years or for whatever period of time, and you can't take it anymore, and then you decide to take your life. How cruel is that? That's why we have to do something about this.
Exactly. And we did have a young lady there who was a guest on the show who wrote her book about, you know, faces of suicide and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to take a very proactive stand on this.
Right.
Because it's I'm so passionate about it, I guess, because it's just so, It takes a lot out of you.
It's real.
It takes so much out of you. Because when you keep speaking and all you're coming up with is brick walls and things,
right?
It's hard. It's hard to want to keep going.
Right.
But for the listeners, you have to keep going. You have to keep putting one foot in front of the other.
And you have to get involved. You have to get involved. You know, there should have been 1,000 people at that summit. We need to get involved. We've got to come together. We have to help each other. You know, no man is an island, no one stands alone. We need each other. And if I would encourage the audience today, don't miss another summit, because it can bless you. It can help you. You can heal from someone else's testimony. And that's what we're trying to do, so we help each other. Because I've experienced domestic violence in a very serious way, where I tried to take my own life because I couldn't get anyone to hear me. Plus, I was too afraid to even talk to anybody because of the threats that were made on my life. But if I had known there was a summit, if I had known there was a place to go, I would have gone to get that help. But at that time, I didn't know which way to go. And now we know. So we have to support these organizations that are out here talking about domestic violence. We're going to start looking at some legislation that needs to be implemented and look at the laws we have on the books now. We need to see what needs to be changed, get involved, and make the changes so that it may be a blessing to our children. And that's the other piece of this serious crime. Our kids are now, this teen dating violence is just out of hand. And if the kids are fighting at home, they're fighting at school, they're in the community fighting, all of this is going on, this is also abuse. So we have got to get something under control, because our children are falling right into the same pattern. If that son grows up, as an example, could be a girl or boy, but if they grow up in that domestic violence home and all they see is their father brutally beating their mother, this is learned behavior. From that learned behavior, what are they going to do? They're going to emulate that and think it's right for them to do it. So it's not that they're responsible, it's because it's what they've learned. And they think that's normal behavior until they find somebody that is not going to tolerate that, or they end up in jail or a detention home because they've tried to hurt someone. So these are the things that we must get trainings going, and we must have more summits. We must talk this up more and help our family start to heal and let people know this is unacceptable behavior. No one needs to put their hands on anyone. You know, we're not property, okay? We're not furniture. We're human. You know, each one of us hurt. So we have to stop the hurt by working together, supporting each other, and let's get some real serious programs together. There are a lot of organizations that's out here getting billions of dollars every year, constantly. They don't even have to blink an eye. They get the money, but are they producing? Are they providing the services that is needed for the community? What are they doing with this money? So anyone that's not getting help, is not getting services, and you're going to an agency and they're not doing the work, then they need to be exposed that you're not getting the services that you are supposed to receive. So that's another avenue that I think we need to tap into. Let's really find out who's doing what.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, I don't have a problem saying, you know, I spoke with this person and that person and no response, no
Absolutely.
Response. You know,
Absolutely.
Next month you'll see your elected officials jumping out of the woodwork to talk about this and that. I'm gonna read something that actually, someone had sent to me, and, you know, it was odd that I believe it was September the 13th on a very well-known talk show, they had the topic of domestic violence. And they had put up a quiz. So I'm going to read some of the questions there.
Uh-huh.
It says, does your partner embarrass you with put-downs, look or act in ways that scare you, control what you do or who you see or talk to, isolate you from friends, family, members, or supporters, manipulate you with control of money, dominate all decisions, criticize your parenting and threatening to take away or hurt your children, prevent you from working or attending school, deny or downplay abuse or try to blame you for provoking it, destroy your property, intimidate you with guns, knives, or other weapons, shove you, slap you, choke you, or hit you, force you to drop charges, threaten to commit suicide, threaten to kill you. If you answered yes to even one of those warning signs, you may be in an abusive relationship.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the National Domestic Violence Hotline is 800-799-SAFE or 800-799-7233. Or TTY is 800-787-3224.
Yes.
And these are things that you need to be aware of and pass it along. If it's not happening to you, well, thank God every day that it's not. But in
That's
the event
right.
that you have a friend or family member
That's
who is
right.
going through this,
mm-hmm.
you should have this information at hand.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I just finished my book, and it's not a dissertation on domestic violence, but it has beautiful pictures in it and a lot of words of encouragement
uh-huh.
for people who are going through it. And, you know, it's not, it doesn't look like a self-help book. It looks like a photography book.
Uh-huh.
And you can pass it along. Give it to a friend and say, you know what, this is a great book. It's only got a few pages, 54 pages. Read this book. You know,
uh-huh.
it's beautiful, hardbound, beautiful book, hardcover,
uh-huh.
great book, and not because I wrote it, but it's because, you know, the reviews that I have gotten is so positive of people that say, you know what, it doesn't make me feel like I'm hiding, you know, I don't want the world to know, but when I'm looking at this, all they see is that it looks like it's a photo book.
Right.
And it's the fact that it's masked so that people won't know
uh-huh.
that you're reading something for encouragement to get those answers that you need.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes you're finding your voice, but you don't have to tell it to the world.
Uh-huh.
You're finding your voice in your own way, and that's just another vice to help you get that
right.
voice. And it's got information in it and resources,
uh-huh.
and you can pass it along from one friend to the next. I'm still waiting for my hard copy now. But once I approve that, then I'll be ready when I go on tour with that. But so many of the people who I've had on the show alone have written so many wonderful self-help books.
Uh-huh.
And so many of them have stories of some form of domestic violence, among other things.
Uh-huh.
Some have had terminal illnesses and experiencing domestic violence.
Uh-huh.
So this is something that it's pretty safe to say that someone probably knows someone
That's
who's
right.
going through it. If it's
That's
not
right.
you yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know someone.
Mm-hmm.
And all we're doing is providing you with the information that you need to help yourself
right.
and or someone else.
That's right.
This is not about bashing the abuser. This is not about
No.
getting even, you know, I'm not,
uh-huh.
I'm speaking for me,
uh-huh.
and I'm sure that you feel that way, but some
Absolutely.
People do things to be cruel and vicious,
right. Right.
while other people do not. It's
That's
just
right.
to help other people. And if everyone sits in silence, then what have we accomplished?
That's
Absolutely
right.
nothing.
That's right. That's right.
So, you know, this is the problem that so many people have. You know, the young lady that spoke at the summit whose husband kissed her and then he shot her some more. You know, he shot her once and then he decided that he felt like kissing her and, you know, showing his signs of affection and then he stood up and shot her some more.
Uh-huh.
You know, these are things that we need to hear about.
Right.
And he's no longer with us, but it's a story that needs
uh-huh.
to be told.
Right. And it's
you know,
the same thing that they talk about. Okay, I beat you half to death. Now I want sex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
so that sex is supposed to smooth up my pain, my agony, my bruises, my tears, you know. So we have to realize that sometimes these are games that people are playing, but this is real. Abuse is abuse, and domestic violence is real, definitely real. And I'm glad you read that scenario because that is meaningful. That explains it all. I mean, that is, those were real symptoms.
And it's so amazing that, and again, sometimes you can have a partner. I've had people tell me, well, he never raised his hand to me. Has he ever thrown anything at you? Has he ever called you, you know, the B word, any word he can think of out of your name? Mm-hmm. If he has, then that's the beginning.
That's abuse.
Of it.
Yeah.
That's abuse. And I think that, you know, one of the things that we had conversed about earlier today is the fact that so many women nowadays have such low self-esteem. They are allowing themselves to be, to stay, let's put it this way, and to be in these abusive relationships.
Right.
You know, you do not need, when you came into this world, you came complete the way that God wanted you to be.
That's right.
A significant other does not complete you.
Absolutely.
They enhance you.
Absolutely.
And I say significant other because I'm talking to men and women.
Absolutely.
They don't complete you. You didn't come into this world a half of a person.
That's
you
right.
You came into this world a complete person.
Right.
So anything added is added extra.
That's
past
right.
That.
That's right.
But, you know, if
that's
they,
right.
you know, to say I got a man or I have a fine sister, and, you know, and for men, you know, that man kicks in, and if that fine sister is hitting you upside your head every night or threatening that you just, you know, telling you that you're going to wake up in flames,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have, you know, someone I believe at the summit, they said hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
And it's right. to a degree where there's something else going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Where that individual feels the need to hurt, to make themselves,
right.
to validate their own worth and or existence.
Correct. And I think one
and
of the other pieces that's missing, which is it helps, there are counselors that
mm-hmm.
specialize in the area, the arena, with abuse and with domestic violence. And sometimes we have to seek out to ask for help. We have, and sometimes we need medical assistance to help us through a process. And I know many times for some African Americans, they don't feel like they want to talk to a psychiatrist because I'm not crazy. It's not about you being crazy. It's about what you're going through, and you need some help to get you through it. And that's why they have the education and the degrees to help people through that process. So I don't think that that's something that we should negate. I think we need to engage and realize I need help to get through this. And that's just another person you can talk to and share with so that they can get you on track to keep you healthy and well, you know, because once your mind is gone, it's gone, you know. And sometimes I think with the kind of abuse that I personally experience and others, you reach a point where you just want to lose your mind. You know, and that is a plan. I think that's the plan of action, that they want that to happen to you so that you can think on your own, just like crack cocaine and a lot of these other drugs that's out here. And many times we turn to those different substances just because we aren't really dealing with that pain that's really happening. So, you know, that's not a bad thing to reach out and ask for help and talk to counselors to kind of help you through this process. And again, from a legal perspective, it sort of helps you to start getting some things documented,
right.
you know, as to how you're feeling and, you know, what are you going through and what kind of medications are you taking just because of this trauma that you're dealing with.
Right. And they need to, you know, understand that once you start this process, and you started, you can't just stop midstream.
Uh-huh.
I can't say that enough. I know we had said it earlier.
Right.
And believe you me, just because you go to court the first time
uh-huh.
and maybe your protection order is denied,
uh-huh.
you know, you may have to keep going back every single day of every week
uh-huh.
and moving from court to court until you find a jurisdiction uh-huh. where there are judges that are going to listen to you with some
right.
type of of course, from the legal aspect and compassion and everything else, they have to understand what's going on.
Right.
And you're going to be shot down. You know, odds are you're going to be shot down before you get what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in Maryland, you can get the highest protection order you can get is 12 months
mm-hmm.
with the possibility of a six-month extension.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I know when I was in court, some people got 30 days, some
mm-hmm.
people got 6 months. You know, and it helps to have an advocate because
absolutely.
I had a court-appointed advocate for me, and I didn't know who this woman was walking up to me, and you know, there are certain cases that trigger advocacy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you don't know what it is because if everyone knew what to say, then there would be so many people who are trying to get back at their abusers or whatever, and they'd say what they know would trigger that.
Right.
But if you go in natural and the courts know what they're looking for, and once
mm-hmm.
they hear those trigger words,
mm-hmm.
You know, next thing you know, you have an advocate walking up to you.
That's right.
And they're from your jurisdiction. These aren't
mm-hmm.
people that are freelancers. These are people that are from, you know, for me it was Baltimore County.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll have Baltimore City or D.C. or wherever your jurisdiction is, they have advocates
right.
that work in the system
absolutely.
That you can get at no cost to you.
That's right.
And use that person because they are there to okay. help you.
That's right.
They're not there to hurt
right.
you. They're there to help okay. you.
That's
and,
right.
you know, you have to be prepared for that. And, again, I always use it as, what is it, when they're leaving Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible
okay.
and she looks
absolutely.
Back and turns into a pillow of salt.
Okay.
If you look back, there's nothing back there but destruction and despair
that's
for
right.
you. So once
that's
you
right.
start moving forward, you cannot look back. And
that's
if
right.
you're going to court, I always tell people for me, if you don't let them know that you're going to court, just get up one day and head to the courthouse because if they know, and then you're denied, and you come back home, and they know that you were going to get a court order against them, and it was
mm-hmm.
denied, it's going to make your life worse.
That's right.
So sometimes in your preparation, when you're starting to take pieces of clothing out of the house one at a time and start
mm-hmm.
to save all kind of money and things for
mm-hmm.
your departure, sometimes it's better for you to do that in the event that you don't get it. Because
that's
when you
right.
get home, trust me, they're going to think the courts are on my side, and then
mm-hmm.
they're going to harm you
absolutely.
Just because they know that they can't.
Absolutely.
So you have to have a specific plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say prayer, plan, and preparation.
Absolutely.
You have
absolutely.
To have the three P's,
mm-hmm.
and you have to in order for it to work. And,
right.
you know, it's disheartening when you talk to places like I had heard from the House of Ruth when I had called, you know, my job at the time had called them for me.
Uh-huh.
And they said they knew of, they have a list of judges who don't treat women right when they go before them for domestic
uh-huh.
violence. And I said, why isn't this information being shared?
That's
because
right.
had I known the second time I had gone to court that the judge was going to give me the same line he's given, after that I found
uh-huh.
out he's given so many women the
same
exact
right.
line.
Right.
And I said, you know, why don't we know this? I would not have wasted my time to go into this man's courtroom
uh-huh.
had I known that he was going to do the same exact foolishness.
Right.
And it's like, okay, you're telling me that I have to be dead. They're going to either roll me in here from, you know, in the black bag
uh-huh.
or I'm going to be close to it on life support so that you
uh-huh.
can see bruises on my skin before
right.
you'll give me a protection order.
Right.
So, you know, one thing led to another and it got worse.
Mm-hmm.
But,
right.
you know, and listening to the stories at the summit, like I said, when we do this, ladies and gentlemen, it's to help not only us to heal from our hurt,
mm-hmm.
but it's to help you first and foremost.
That's right.
Because I had a lady that walked up and she says, I've been silent since 1997. And she said, I'm not going to be silent anymore.
All right.
And, you know, and I just looked at her and I gave her a hug and I said, then my job tonight was well done.
There you go.
And I've accomplished what I set out to do.
That's right.
And, you know, and I have a problem with people who don't take this serious.
Yeah.
This isn't about grandstanding. It's
no.
not about, you know, being out there say, yeah, I said this and I said that. And so many people, I had so many people call and say, well, how many people are going to be there? Yeah, I want to get involved. Look, it's not about you being a headliner.
No,
it's not
right.
about you being a showcase. It's about you doing this because you want to volunteer your time and your service.
Right.
And, you know, for me, this was our first annual.
Mm-hmm.
And although it was a success in many ways because, you know, I had about the planned crowd that I was expecting,
mm-hmm.
but as you said, you know, some of the other functions that you had saw, you know, along the same day in that week,
right.
you know, it was nowhere near where it should have been. And these
mm-hmm.
were people that were a lot bigger and well-known than I am.
That's right.
But, again, people need to start to support those of us that are grassroots.
That's right.
I'm in the community. You mm-hmm. know what I'm doing. All these million-dollar nonprofits that say that they're for the people,
mm-hmm.
I haven't seen one thing that they've done in my community my entire life.
Wow.
And I'm like, I see where you all want to pick up money and you want to do this. You have your little boxes set up for people. But what have you done in this community
right.
or any other community that I've
right.
lived in?
Right.
But your CEOs of these companies are making six-figure salaries
mm-hmm.
and not low six. But
right.
I don't know what you're actually doing. And we're talking about millions of dollars where you can
right.
be in more places. So
right.
I think that a lot of problems come in when people aren't supporting the grassroots
That's right.
organizations.
Because it's the grassroots that's doing the work.
It
For
is.
Real.
The grassroots are the work of these.
The mom-and-pop shops are doing the work.
Yep.
You know,
small businesses run
absolutely.
This country.
Absolutely. They are doing the work. They aren't getting
right.
credit. They aren't getting recognition. They aren't getting any money. Cannot even, you apply for grants and you're rejected, you know, because for whatever reason, there are some people that, you know, they just get it all. We don't know what
yep.
those reasons are, but the thing we do know is that when we come together and support each other collaboratively, that is just my effort. That is my thrust moving forward. To the years to come, because I am a strong believer, together we will stand and divided we will fall. And we're going to come together and connect with other organizations as it relates to domestic violence and homicide or whatever that we have to work with. We're going to come together, support each other, and be successful regardless.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, with this drive and this movement, you know, people have gotten what they their personal goals were for
mm-hmm.
this.
Right.
You know, I mean, the weeks leading up to the summit, we had wonderful, you know, people coming on and
mm-hmm.
things. And I know some people had the Cultural Arts Festival today
mm-hmm.
and they're tired, and I understand that. But, you know, as far as where everyone else disappeared to, you know, if you're going to be about something, be about it is what
right.
I'm saying.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, you don't want to just be there and say, yeah, I did this, and
mm-hmm.
then you're gone.
Right. We have to support one another, you know, because like
yeah.
I said again, this is a lot of work, and it's not
it
easy
is.
Work. It's hard. The family
right.
that I was trying to help on Sunday took me 6 hours. Nonstop. So I could not go to church service. I had to take care of that family. And I was not
yeah.
going to stop till I had an answer or a solution. And that's what grassroots organizations will do. They go the extra mile. They will spend the
exactly.
hours and the time to get the job done. We're talking about completion. We're not talking
right.
about hit and miss. We want to make sure that families are served and that they get what they're entitled to. They need to understand what their rights are. That's another area that is lacking. Some people do not know what your rights are. You know, we don't even know what the laws are in your city, how it relates to domestic violence. So that these are the things that we need to teach and to train and to develop so that people will know. Once you cross this line, I can get X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to do it. Document
Exactly.
is a great method of trying to, you know, catch your perpetrator. Keep a record of every behavior, date and time. Keep an ongoing log. You know, eventually you will see patterns of that behavior, just like the list that you were just giving us a few minutes ago. Start tracking. Keep a diary. Document, document, document. Then you will be able to see for yourself whether or not you are falling into that category. Because some people are in denial. You know,
right.
You're in denial. Maybe he's buying you, you know, the Louis Vuittons and all of this fashionable whatever. You know, maybe
mm-hmm.
you're, you know, you living in a fabulous home and you've got a beautiful car. But you know what? If you're unhappy and you're miserable, what does that stuff mean? Absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
So we have got
nothing.
To come to grips that it has to be peace. At all costs. I was not born in this world to be battered. I was not born to be mistreated. I was born
right.
to live and to have a happy life. But it's not going to happen unless I make it happen. And that's what
exactly.
I encourage your listeners to do today. Take a self-examination. If you find out that you're unhappy and you're miserable, you need to change it.
Right.
Take steps to change it today.
Right. And
not tomorrow,
yeah.
but today.
Yeah. Right now.
Because, absolutely.
You know, and you're talking about business. Get up, get a job, get your own Louis Vuitton.
That's
not
right.
Someone else to buy you these things because
that's
no matter
right.
how much it costs or how much bling that
right.
individual provides you with, if
that's
they're
right.
beating you up and all of that, is that
yeah.
really worth that price of that bling and that fancy car?
Right.
You can get out and get a job. A car is to get you from point A to point B. It didn't say that it had to be a Maserati or something like that. You know, it doesn't say that
that's
it had
right.
to be that. It said that it had to get you from point A to point B.
That's
come
right.
down off of that proverbial high horse that you're living
that's
on
right.
and know that you're worth more than that before
right.
the next time he might hit you upside your head with some of that bling and you may not wake up from that.
There you go.
Another thing that I'd like to share, special thanks to Dr. Calvin Ball of Howard County, County Councilman Dr. Calvin Ball, for providing us with information for Howard County.
Uh-huh.
The domestic violence unit's number is 410-313-7554 in Howard County. The Victims Assistance section, you may call their office at 410-313-3768. And the Howard County State's Attorney's Office, the Victim Witness Assistance Unit is 410-313-3178. Domestic Violence, 410-997-2272 or 1-800-752-0191. And Sexual Assault, 410-997-3292. You may visit the Howard County's website at www.dvisinvictorcenter.org. That's Howard County. Baltimore City has a whole host of people that you can call. Of course, the House of Ruth, 410-554-8463. The hotline is 410-889-7884. CHANA, Counseling Helpline and Aid Network for Abused Women. This is the Associated Jewish Community Federation of Baltimore. Their number is 410-234-0030. 410-234-0030 is administration. The hotline, which operates Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., is 410-234-0023. Of course, turnaround, of course, is on here, 410-377-8111. The administration number, the 24-hour hotline, is 410-828-6390. And Carroll County is 410-386-2345. Again, it's 410-386-2345. Domestic violence coordinators' numbers are 410-386-2671 is voicemail, and domestic violence investigator is 410-386-2671. That's voicemail for Carroll County. What did I do with Baltimore counties now? But these are information, and I'm sure that you can share some hotlines D.C., I'm sorry, for Washington as well, to let the people in your area know. And that's the one thing that I wanted to stress is that by us working together,
mm-hmm.
we know how to guide someone in the right direction across the board.
Right.
Because it's very important that we all work together so
mm-hmm.
that if someone calls me that's more in D.C.,
right.
I had someone from Virginia. She wrote to me through a website.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Baltimore County, who then connected me to Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And they had gone out to check on the lady and see if she was in any distress and needed help.
Mm-hmm.
I told them, I said, she wrote to me through my website. So I don't know if it's a hoax or what, but, you know, I'm going to report it as if it's real.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and this is what we do. We
mm-hmm.
are here for you. You're not alone.
Right.
You are so not alone.
Right.
And, you know, that's the part that, you know, we can't stress enough is that help is here.
That's right.
Sometimes you may need someone just to talk to, but we're here for
mm-hmm.
you.
Yeah.
And we do this show and have on such wonderful guests like Reverend Saunders and people of this magnitude because we want you to know that we are here to help.
Yeah.
And, you know, many times when I do Healing Through Hurt, sometimes we'll have a show where there's a lot of callers, and then sometimes they're just sitting there in the query. I'll see them, you know, on the
mm-hmm.
switchboard. I'll see that they're listening. We do have visitors in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people just want to sit back and listen.
That's right.
And that's the whole point, because they're afraid to have their voices heard on air
mm-hmm.
because they don't know who's listening, and
right.
they're still living in that silence. But the fact that you are here lets us know that we're getting our point across.
Yeah.
And that at least I know and I can tell my guests that they're listening. And
yeah.
that's the beauty of this is we can reach so many more people.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're home and you're listening to the regular radio,
right.
that's loud and everyone can hear it. And,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, most people don't walk around with headphones on, especially if you're older. Young people are different. You know, they always
that's
have
right.
their iPods and things in their ears, but for the most part, if you're an adult, an older adult, you don't usually walk around with your headphones on, and you don't want anyone to just snatch it out or snatch it away and hear what you're listening to.
Absolutely.
So a lot of times, you know, when you're at the computer, you can see somebody coming, and
mm-hmm,
you can
mm-hmm.
shut it off, or you can move, but you can hear it, and you know that each one of these shows is archived, so you can come back and pick up where you stopped and listen to
that's
this show
right.
in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the beauty of doing this. And
yeah.
we are here to help you.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this is what I know that I've been put on this earth and I'm compelled
mm-hmm.
to do.
Right.
You know, and so many people, so many of us, you don't ever hear us whine mm-hmm. or complain about what we're sacrificing.
That's
because
right.
that's not the point right now.
Mm-hmm.
The
that's
point
right.
is for us to help you.
That's right. That's right.
And we don't need your pity. And,
that's
you know,
right.
We don't want any of that.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to help you.
Absolutely.
And we share what, you know, we're not telling you what we know that you might want to hear. We're telling
mm-hmm.
you what you need to hear.
Right. Right.
And, you know, that's the difference here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I will share, I'd like to share, I am a crime victims advocate. I work for the National Center for Victims of Crime, and we are a information and referral hotline. Actually, it's a helpline because you're talking to a live person. You can call this number 12 hours a day from 8:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m., you know, Eastern Time, and you can get referrals in your area for any crime. It doesn't matter what the crime is. We have resources that we can refer you to. So I recommend that if you call this number, it's 1-800-FYI-CALL. That's 202-467-8700. And you can ask for our helpline, but dial 1-800-FYI-CALL, and you can get it. It's anonymous. Your phone number doesn't show up. We don't ask for your name. All we need to know is how you've been a victim of a crime, and we're able to give you some referral services to help you through your situation. So please feel free to call that number. And as well, if you need information and you want to look at the website for DC Alliance, you can just go under DC. I just use the acronym, so it's DCAEHS.org. And you'll get to see some of the things that we've done. We sponsored a motorcycle ride for peace, and that was an exciting event. We had to cancel it this year because of all the bad weather, and the roads were tore up so bad this year. But that's an annual event. Our domestic violence conference is on there. We also sponsored an HIV/AIDS seminar. So please feel free to check out our website. If you need to reach us, you can call 202-529-6217. It's our office in D.C. And the Maryland number is 301-445-7277. So in any way that we can possibly help, in any way, just feel free to give us a call. We'd be more than happy to do our very best.
And again, now you've gotten several jurisdictions here in Maryland, D.C. We're going to keep networking until we get representatives in Virginia,
absolutely,
Pennsylvania, Delaware. You know, we want to definitely hit the Delmarva, that whole area and section here, Nova, and the whole nine yards, because you know, these are the areas that are closest to this particular section.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can network throughout the U.S., so be it. That's what we will do.
Right.
Because we need to get this out, and we are trying to do everything that we can to help you move ahead. And as you all can see, I'm dedicated to healing through hurt no matter what. This is what I know that I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to be here for you as long as I can be.
Yes.
And I'm sure that you have, again, you have Reverend Saunders, and there are other people that are here for you. We're here because we're dedicated to really to the mission of helping you.
That's right. That's right.
You know, we're not here for grandstanding. We're not here for accolades.
That's right. That's right.
You know, we're here to help you.
That's right.
You know, it means something, and I've had so many callers or listeners tell me that it means something when they know that they're talking to Maria and Maria is actually listening to them, and they're like,
yeah,
oh, my gosh, and they start to cry, and they say, it's really you, and you're listening to me. Yeah. You
that's
know,
right.
you know
right.
even when some nights I've been sick and I've been tired, and I'm still here, and I answer each email. I may not do it now like I used to. I can answer you directly in a day. It may be 2 days or maybe 3 days, but you're going to get a response back from me. It's what I do because I think that I have to have that hands-on kind of experience, and so many people appreciate the fact that we are people who have either weathered that storm or we're still in the midst of it.
That's
but
right.
we're right here where we need to be. And
right.
welcome to all of our visitors in the chat room. Again, we're here with Reverend Patricia Saunders of the DC Alliance Empowering Homicide Survivors. We are speaking about, this is our post-summit show, and we're still speaking on the topic of domestic violence and helping those living in silence move ahead. We just had another one of my former show guests come into the room, Yvonne Pierre. She wrote a wonderful, wonderful book, and would love for her to call in, of course, if she has time, 646-478-4726. She's another sister who's working on her MBA.
Oh,
and,
wonderful.
She should be doing homework, I'm sure, but I think she just jumped into the chat room. But great sister, dynamic story, The Day My Soul Cried, is the name of her book. Wonderful, wonderful lady, great story. Two children that are absolutely adorable, They're just cute as buttons.
Oh.
But, you know, another, she said, LOL, she's laughing out loud. But, you know, great person. She knows she's busted. She knows she should be doing homework. But thank you for joining us this evening. Again, and we're going to, you know, continue to network. And, again, this is how we do. She said she's calling in 2 minutes. Great.
Okay,
we'll wait to hear from you. Wonderful
sure.
lady.
Sure.
Again, this is what we do. We network. And these are people that, you know, I met her because she was a guest on Healing Through Hurt. And we developed a friendship outside of this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we grow and we support one another.
Yeah.
And we do all of that because this is what this is about. It's not about making your appearance, you know, selling whatever, and then you disappear.
Right.
You know, that's not it. We have to stick together and keep growing it and making it bigger so that the next, you know, if your next function is yours, then you tell me in advance, and then it's, what do you need? Then it's Maria. Then Maria will be there,
right?
You know, or Maria and Adrian will be there. But we'll be there to support. And then I say, okay, my next function is November to something. You have one coming up in October. I have another one in November.
Awesome.
You know, maybe we'll do something together in December for the end of the year fundraiser or something. Yeah. To get us, you know, where we need to be. That would be great.
Absolutely.
If we all work together and put together something fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe have like a dinner and a performance or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or like I said, an art showcase, you know, an art gallery showcase with the people to come through and, you know, they can experience the cupcake therapy and have a little bit of, you know, soda or whatever. And, you know, cause we don't serve alcohol at most of our functions because that's just, you know, that's going from one bad situation to another.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
You can have a good time without alcohol.
You sure
Maybe
can.
Maybe some people don't agree with that, but, you know.
You sure can.
But you can have a wonderful time and go home sober.
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, that's just me. So
okay.
If you're waiting to see that or you're waiting for me to have a fashion show where the women are showing more skin than clothing, that's not going to happen either. Because, number one, it takes away from whatever the topic is or the whatever we're trying to shed light on. And hold on. I think this might be her. Let me see.
Right.
Let me see if I can work. Hey.
Hey. Can
How
you hear
are
me?
You? Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm
good.
We are here with, oh my. Here comes a whole bunch of folks popping on now.
Wonderful.
I'm here with Reverend Patricia Saunders. And this is Yvonne, isn't it?
Yes.
How are you?
Okay, I have to make sure.
Wonderful lady. What is her name again?
Patricia Saunders.
Oh, okay. Hey, Patricia.
Hi.
I didn't want to say your name wrong.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay.
But, we've been talking. This is our post-summit show, of course. Last week, Reverend Saunders was one of the guests at the summit. And we developed a rapport outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about, of course, we're still carrying on trying to network, to get a bigger network. So, Yvonne, from you, when you get a chance, I know you're busy with what you're supposed to be doing, homework. But anyway, when you get a chance, if you could give us information from your area on all of the domestic violence resources there. We're trying to get together a whole master list so that we're all networking together. So if I get something from someone, because I was sharing that a few weeks ago, someone wrote to me through the website, through my contact page on the website, and she was going through an abusive relationship, but she was in Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I'm in Maryland, so I didn't know what to do. I called 911 here, and I said, look, this is not a joke. This is what I do. And someone wrote to me at 4 o'clock in the morning on my website, and I got it this morning. So, you know, and then they connected me with the Virginia 911 system, I guess, and they sent out to police to the house because she left off the last two digits of her phone number, but you know me, studying law, I know how to find things. So only one person that was close, everything fit,
right.
The whole number down to the last two. So I said, I'm assuming that this may be her. This is what she wrote to me, you know, I hope that, and they said, yeah, we're going to go out and check on her. So, you know, we need a bigger list so that we can keep this network going.
Did you
do any follow-up on that? You want me to email it to you? Just look for some things in the metro Atlanta area and email it to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll work. And then we'll just, between Patricia and myself, we'll keep a master list going. And for all of our listeners, especially for our guests in the chat room, if you're in, I'm in Maryland, we have a D.C. person here, we have Atlanta, Georgia. If you're in any of the other states and you're on right now, if you could contact us and send us the information that you find out for any of your domestic hotlines, domestic violence units, for your police department or whatever, send it to either myself or Yvonne or whomever you know. I am on Facebook. Most of you, some of you in the chat room know me from Facebook. But send the information. You can write to me at contact@thewallfoundationinc.org or Maria Wall at thewallfoundationinc.org, either or. And or you can also give me a call, 443-865-4211, and leave all of your information there. We're trying to compile a very large list of resources, and we'll send that out so that everyone will know who to contact in their particular area. But if you would like to have a question or comment for any of our panelists this evening, we have, of course, Yvonne Pierre, the author of The Day My Soul Cried. Wonderful, wonderful book, wonderful lady. Oh, what a beautiful story to tell. And we have Reverend Patricia Saunders of the D.C. Alliance Empowering Homicide Survivors, another great organization doing great things, which I think that what you're doing is wonderful because, as I said, I don't know anything about an organization that does that much to help the survivors, you know, help to with the burial and the preparation for, you know, the victim, of course. So that in itself is a wonderful, wonderful service that you're offering.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But, you know, Yvonne, again, the sister went through a lot, a lot. And, you know, if you don't have her book, you need to get her book. Read it.
Thank you.
Great book.
Thank
great,
you.
Great book.
What's
and,
the name,
you know,
what's the name of it again? The name of the book?
The Day My Soul Cried.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's on my website. That's ypierre.com.
Spell your last name because, you know, some listeners may
okay.
not.
That's Pierre, Y, Pierre, P-I-E-R-R-E.com.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, wonderful book, wonderful lady. Why aren't you doing your homework? But anyway, who am I?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, actually your book was at the summit last week, as promised. All of my show guests, I do take your books with me when I tour and have summits. Yes, your book was there. And as promised, I always do continue to promote good people with good reading. And I'm one of those hosts that actually sits down and reads every book that comes through. So, you know, I don't see how anyone can do a host a show and not really have a clue about what the person has written about or who they are if they haven't taken the time to actually read the materials. And no harm, but I've heard some shows where it's evident people have not read a thing.
Right.
They're just, you know, it's just for their own personal hype you know, and it just doesn't, their ratings or whatever. But I'm like, you didn't even read the book. So, but yeah.
Because it really could be something in the book that could be offensive to your your listeners. So
right.
It is important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's very important.
It is. It is.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you have to know your guests and
know what you're talking about.
That's right.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So again, for all of our listeners and members in the chat room, if you have a question or comment, feel free to type it and I will read it for you on air, and of course our panelists will answer the question. Again, if you'd like to call in, the number is 646-478-4726. If you have any questions about any type of personal situation that you're going through, you do not have to, of course, say your name or anything. But if you'd like to get some answers, we are here for you for the next 39 minutes. Once again, I told you all I just love doing this, and before you know it, my 2 hours are up. But
wonderful. It's wonderful.
But it is great. How are the babies, Yvonne?
They're good. I just quiet them down. That's why it took me a couple of minutes to call in. Well, not babies. 8 and 17.
They're not babies. They're all 17, but,
Yeah,
I should have called them babies, especially the little one. He's still a baby.
Yeah, they'll always be my babies, but
That's right.
Big babies.
And another thing, next month, Yvonne, is that's Down Syndrome Month?
Yeah, Down Syndrome Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in addition to Domestic Violence Month for our listeners, it's also Down Syndrome Awareness Month.
Mm.
So, again, these are all topics and things that you really can look up. Get yourself some education on it because you never know.
Yeah.
And you may be able to help someone, or if someone has a child who is suffering from Down syndrome or has Down syndrome, you will know what to do to help that friend along or family member or yourself. Knowledge is power.
Yes, it
knowledge
is
power.
Well, you know what? That's another aspect of domestic violence as well, because people with disabilities are extremely vulnerable to domestic violence.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, very much so.
And
abuse in general, it happens more likely in the disabled community for someone to be abused, either sexually abused or domestic violence.
Primarily they're getting, they know that they're getting a disability check, so they easily move in. I love you, and sometimes that's all that person wants, and that's how they become a victim.
Yeah.
And they are abused, and many times there are not a lot of resources out there to help them get out of that situation.
And it's a thing about power.
The abuser
tries to control, and if you know the person has a disability, you assume that you can gain even more control over them because of their disability and their need to depend on you. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
And they take their money, and they, so it's really a serious issue, and people aren't talking about it a lot, but those victims are extremely afraid and frightened and don't know where to turn.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was saying. The lady that wrote to me from Virginia, I said she's in a wheelchair, but she said that she uses a scooter or one of those, those electronic chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
He's cut her off from her disability checks. And
there you go.
The killer and this
absolutely.
And that. And she just wrote to me at like 4 something in the morning.
Yeah.
And, what a shock to wake up and, log on and you get this message. And it's like, are you kidding me? And I don't even know.
Did you respond back to her?
I did not write back to her because I didn't know if he would be on the computer or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I just gave it over to the police.
Okay.
I called 911 and read to them what she sent to me and gave them the information that I had found out.
Okay.
And I said, out of this, all of this 5 numbers out of the whatever, the 8 numbers out of the 10-digit numbers for the phone numbers was all the same, and then the last 2 led me to a lady with the same name, and I gave them the address that I found out for her. that I had found for her, and I said, you know, I don't know if this is her, but this is the number. The last two digits were missing off of the phone number, but she gave her whole name.
Uh-huh.
And when I found this person, all of the numbers were the same, so I'm just adding the last two.
Right.
And this is the address that I found. So the Virginia police took over from there.
Okay.
And
was that on your website?
Yeah, she wrote to me on the website.
Okay.
And I don't know whether she had saw something about the domestic violence summit or what, but she wrote to me on the foundation website.
Okay.
So that, and that was not readily available, so I don't know how she put two and two together and found that.
Uh-huh.
But she did write to me through the foundation website, which if you all want to see pictures from the summit, you may go to thewallfoundationinc.org and click on the events icon, and it will load up the pictures from the summit.
Oh, great.
And we do have quite a few pictures there. It was a great event, and I did have people that walked up and said that they have now found their voice. So needless to say, that made the summit a wonderful success.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to, of course, now, you know, I met Patricia and her organization. She was a guest, but now we have partnered up to network.
Absolutely.
And we're going to keep this going. And you know, wonderful people again. You have Yvonne, who wrote a great book for encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
So for all of you out there listening, pick up a copy of the book. It's not a lot of big words. It's not a dissertation. That's my new word now. It's not a dissertation on anything. It's real simple. It's real.
Uh-huh.
It's down to earth, and it's an
right.
easy, good read for you so that you don't get discouraged that, I don't know what she's talking about. It's not one of those types of books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so get a copy of that, read it, and then pass it along or have your friends suggest that they buy a copy.
Right.
And keep it going because it's a story worth being told. And don't allow anyone to let you know that you cannot succeed because Yvonne is, of course, you're working on your MBA, right?
Yeah. And I think it's important, too, for me to throw in that the significance of me getting my MBA or us mentioning it right now is because when I graduated from high school, I could barely read.
Aww.
So
yeah.
The fact that I went from that to now getting my executive MBA is, you know,
wonderful.
Of course, I pat myself on the back a little bit, but I really want to let people know that there's hope.
Yeah.
And just because you can't now or you struggle with it now don't mean you won't be great at it later.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Sometimes we have to crawl before we can walk.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, everything has, every seed has to be planted at some point or some kind of way. It has to be nourished so that it can sprout and grow.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
You know, again, this is living proof. That,
and I think,
you know,
too, I want to say this real quick. I think, too, a lot of people feel like, oh, you know, they get discouraged because they feel like they're not good at something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's important for them to remember that Michael Jordan wasn't good either.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and
he was rejected.
On.
Yeah, and he was rejected.
But, right, and he had, it takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of hard work.
Right.
But just because, like I said, you know, a minute ago, just because you're not, you don't feel like you're good at it now, but that's not the factor for you to give up.
That's
that
right.
means that
right.
you need to work harder at it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, you hear real stories from real people,
mm-hmm.
and you can have real success. It's not going to come easy because, you know, these are real stories of real heartache and you know, real healing. But it can come, and it will come.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, it has to come in the time when it's supposed to, not just because you want it to.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, you know, Yvonne, I think you've probably seen it before, that the video that they have going around on Facebook right now where they're showing different people, and I know Michael Jordan was one of them. I think Albert Einstein had problems in school where they said, you know, you'll never amount to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says Albert Einstein, and then it has a whole bunch of people who were told that they would not succeed at anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they become some of the greatest minds, sports people, whatever,
That's right.
The entire world or in history.
Right.
So
yeah, you have
you know,
to use
and again,
it. You have to mm-hmm. use what people are saying, but people say that you can't or you won't be able to accomplish something. You have to use that to your, you know, if that's your passion and that's something you really feel in your heart that God has placed on you to do,
mm-hmm.
then
right.
just because, you know, somebody else said that you can't do it doesn't
mm-hmm.
mean you should give up. I heard Arnold Schwarzenegger, he was doing a, I hope I pronounced his name right, but he was
yeah.
doing a keynote speaking at a college, and one of the things that he said was, you know, before he became the actor, everybody said he can't do it. You're a foreigner, your voice. Everything that they said that will work against him is what worked for him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What led him into the roles, you know, that he wound up getting was his voice, was his size, you know, everything that people told him that was everything that people told him of why he shouldn't do it,
mm-hmm.
wound up being his asset. So, you know, just because you know, you struggle or you find, you know, think that you have a, you know, shortcoming or something, then you just have to work harder
right.
at it.
Right.
But don't give up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Exactly. Never, ever give up and, you know, turn that negativity into something positive.
Right.
Because, you know, for the most time, people that are trying to keep you down only doing it because misery likes company.
That's right.
And that should let you know right there that, okay, well, if you say this, then I'm going to do the opposite.
That's right.
Because, you know, it's obvious that you're saying that because you want me to stay
mm-hmm.
here. And
right.
you're trying to keep me down, which means that either you're doing it because you're miserable and you want
mm-hmm.
me to be miserable,
mm-hmm.
or you're doing it because you don't want me to achieve anything. You're
right.
trying to hold me back like the crab pot. You know, mentality
mm-hmm.
that most people talk about. So,
right.
you know, learn how to turn it around. And even in an abusive relationship,
mm-hmm.
if he calls you out your name and tells you that you're fat and you're ugly and you're this, you can do two things. Either you can start hitting the gym, the treadmill, or doing it on your own, lose the weight for yourself,
mm-hmm.
not for him
That's
or
right.
her, not for him or her.
That's
do
right.
it for yourself because
That's
of
right.
your health. And then you put one foot in front of the other right out the door away from that abusive individual,
mm-hmm.
and you get yourself a life. And
yes.
you make something of yourself for yourself.
Right.
And sometimes that means that you're going to have to live by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to be lonely because you live alone.
That's right.
And I spoke about that at the summit. You know what?
Yeah.
You're that lonely. Read a book. Go to the movie.
Uh-huh.
Eat a cupcake. Do something.
That's right. Well, you know, one of the philosophies that I started with my daughter at the age of 2, and that was I always told her, you can do anything you want to do. Make it up in your mind and do it. And from that day to this day, she actually will get her PhD in December. 36 years old. And so that's nobody but God.
Yeah.
But that is what we have to do. We have to tell our children that because a lot of times they do feel very insecure. They feel like I can't. And I never allowed that word to come out of her mouth. So you can. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, you know. But we have to apply ourselves. You have to apply yourself. You have to work at it. And you don't stop till you succeed.
Yeah,
That's
like that. And congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Very, very proud of her. Very proud.
Had me a good time with all my smart friends. Oh! I love it. I got my little MBA person. Oh, I love it.
That's
my
wonderful.
PhD. I'm loving this. You know, wonderful. And it's so exciting that there's so many of us that are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say that once you cease to learn or move forward, you cease to exist.
Yeah.
So life is a learning process until the day that it's all over.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to keep making new goals for yourself, or else you will get complacent and accept mm-hmm. any and everything.
Right.
And
but you know, the other thing I tell young people a lot of times, because I guess in my old age, you know, you realize that sometimes school is not for everybody. And
right.
it's important to encourage, you know, our young people to keep going on. But I try to tell them, I taught my daughter skills. You need to,
mm-hmm.
to develop skills that you can get a job no matter what. If you can
right.
type, you can get a job anywhere. But
mm-hmm.
develop some skills. And a lot of times I find that our young people are gifted with their hands, and they're very talented.
Yeah.
And, you know, years ago we used to have what they call shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went in there, they work with metal and, you know, copper. And, I mean, they did so much with their hands. And so you don't hear a lot about that now. But, you know, I tell kids, try to develop a skill that you can master, you know,
mm-hmm.
that you can be your own entrepreneur, you know, start your own business. You know, get that mindset that, again, whatever that dream is or something that you really want to accomplish, if you get it in your mind, you can do it.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You really can do it.
Yeah, and because it's hard, and I can't express this enough, because it's hard, you know, I think that pushes a lot of people away from certain fields, and they, you know, for some reason people think that if it's something that they call to do, it should be extra easy.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to master anything,
mm-hmm.
you have to practice. You have
right.
to study it. You have to master it.
That's
and
right.
in order to master it, you know, just like, you know, we used the example of Michael Jordan.
Right.
He was playing to the sun up, the sun down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until he kept on and kept on and kept on at it, but he was rejected in the beginning.
Right. That's right. That's right. And, you know, and then again, if you look at people going to school now and what it costs, you know, it's like, you know, who knows how in the world people will pay for these loans. You know, I mean, it's a lot of money that has to be, and it's, you know, a lot of these grants are not out there. But the one thing that I do over in Southeast, at my churches in Southeast Washington, and under former Marion Barry, they established that people living in Ward 8 can actually go to UDC and get a 4-year degree free.
Mm.
I mean,
wow.
Free. And that's Ward 8. So that's nothing but a blessing, you know, for people to be able to have that opportunity.
Wow.
Now, wouldn't that be wonderful if we could spread that one around? But it's just in Ward 8.
But I wonder how many is actually doing it.
Well,
you know, and it's
exactly.
not to knock it, but,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I can only say for the members of our church, I think we had probably about 200 or 300
Oh, good.
People that's taking advantage of it. Definitely, because, you know, our bishop is a pusher with education, so they push that to no end. And it's important, but, you know, again, in the community, sometimes people need encouragement to do it. On top
yeah.
of that, they need mentors and tutors, you know, because like a lot of kids, you know, like you were saying, right out of high school, kids cannot read or write.
Yeah.
You know, they can't. And I was sharing, we were talking earlier about, you know, people that are in high positions and big executive directors making six figures, and they cannot articulate at all. They cannot
yeah.
talk. They can't
yeah.
speak nor write. And they are making top dollars. So sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Is that, and you have to be passionate about the craft.
Yeah, you do.
You have to be, because that's going to show over. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, it's a lot of people that seek things, you know, for the financial reward.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, you know, is looking for the instant gratification, you know, financial
right.
gratification.
Right.
And you're trying to, you know, it's not realistic to think that you're not going to have to work.
There you go.
You know, or have to work for it. And I think that a lot of people, too, get discouraged. And I'll say, you know, years ago, probably 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
When I was bouncing and I was trying to, you know, figure out what I wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
It's overwhelming.
It is.
But you have to, what I've learned is that, you know, in order to stick it out through the times where you want to just walk away from it,
mm-hmm.
the times where you like, you know what, you know, as far as the criticism
right.
and all that, you
right.
push through that if you love what you're doing.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
So I would suggest mm-hmm. that whatever it is, you know, because you're going to have to put forth some work, you know,
yep.
even though they're making six figures and they may know
mm-hmm.
somebody to get
mm-hmm.
in, but they still got to do the work.
Right. Right.
You know, so, and doing that, you know, and then, again, you know, we don't know. Now, some people, granted, has gotten handed to them.
Absolutely.
And
mm-hmm.
and I've seen, you know, some people get stuff handed to them and they don't know what to do with it.
Absolutely.
But somehow they still.
They get the money.
Somehow they still, you know, they still making some money.
They get the money.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I learned that, you know, that's between them and you know, God or whatever
that's right.
be, you know, I have to follow where my heart is. I can't,
yeah.
you know, I've tried,
yeah.
you know, different, what they call it, get rich quick little thing, or like the, you know, the prepaid
mm-hmm.
legal and the multi-level
yeah.
marketing and all that. It wasn't, I couldn't do it.
Right.
I couldn't do it because my heart wasn't into it, and
right.
I don't sell what I love.
There you go. That's right.
Right.
That's right.
You know, so, I mean, even I tried selling cars, and I was like, I don't know if this car going to break down on them. My heart just went
Yeah.
My
but
heart
you're, but
let
you're,
me do it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If you love it, you will put your whole heart into
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like it's nonstop, and I think the gratification is the fact that, you know, when I do it and I've used my hands, my heart, my mind, and my soul, I feel good.
Yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
can take that feeling away from you when you know that you have accomplished your goal.
It's a reward
right.
in itself.
It is. It is. It really is. And people need to treat themselves, you know. It was so funny because with my daughter, every graduation, every degree, it's like, you know, her dad and I would always have a party. You know, we'd have something for her family over. And I said, girl, I've had enough parties for you. You know, when are you going to stop school? And she's been in school since she was 2 years old.
Yeah.
Never
yeah.
stopped. She did
she
not stop it. For 1 second. She just kept plugging. She was determined. Just
yeah.
And that determination really is what it takes. And so I guess she got a lot of that from me because, again, I was a black sheep of my family, and I was black, ugly, would never be anything, would
yeah.
never accomplish anything. And the more they kept saying it, the more I kept saying, watch me.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I said, watch
yeah.
me. You know, so
yep.
right now I kind of challenge the devil to tell me no, because that's when I'll make sure it happens.
Right, right.
And that's the kind of drive we have to have. And I think if we kind of instill that in our children and, you know, in our family, and it's, you know, I'm have an 8-year-old grandson, and he's taking martial arts, and so he was calling me today. He's mastered his Chinese flip. You know,
oh, wow.
And I'm telling you, this boy has a drive, and he won't stop. He comes home from practice, and he's still practicing. And I said, that's the drive that it takes for you to accomplish what it is that you want. And he hasn't
yeah.
been in the class that long, and the instructor is already, you know, so pleased and ready to advance him pretty quickly because he's picking up quickly, he's learning, he's practicing, he's rehearsing, and he wants it.
Yeah.
So I'm really
yeah.
I'm really proud of that. But I think that's what we have to do to each other. You know, it's just like, you know, calling tonight is a real blessing, and I thank God for this opportunity because, again, the summit was important and the summit was valuable, and that was the thing I sort of started out the show with tonight, because I think we have to recognize that when someone is putting forth an effort to provide you with services such as that, it's, you know, it's rewarding for you to get there. It's rewarding for you to participate. It's even more so rewarding for you to, you know, contribute, make a contribution to a worthy cause. You know, I was just down in Atlantic City with a conference this last week, and this lady told me, she said, you know, the casino is right across the street from the hotel. And she said, I went over there, put a penny in there, and won $500. And I said, well, you know, God bless your heart. Well, she was determined she was going to win. She said, I took $5 over there, and I wasn't going to lose any more than $5. That woman was determined to win with $5. Now, it takes whatever drive it takes, you go for it. I'm not a gambler. I've never played any of those things. So, but my point is that if we make it up in our mind, and that's what I would tell my daughter, you make it up in your mind, you can do it.
Yeah.
You can do it. And so yeah. I'm proud of your accomplishments as well. That's wonderful.
You made a really, really, really good, you made several good points, but you made a really good point that, mm-hmm. you know, once you put your heart and soul into mm-hmm. it, it does make a world of a difference. And I'm going to use, you know, my experience as far as education. When I was in school,
mm-hmm.
and I was struggling, you know, my mom had me in tutoring, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, they would put me in reading one-on-one in every grade.
Right.
You know, in every grade I had to, I had other issues too, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as skipping and all that. But anyway, but I was, you know, constantly trying it, but I just wasn't getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I graduated, and people said, oh, you ain't going to be nothing. You ain't going
mm-hmm.
that. Not just that, but I had, once my perception changed.
Right.
And once I started looking at, oh, I can do this.
That's right.
And it's not an option not to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was easier for me to get it.
Absolutely.
When I was, the difference between then and now was then I believed I couldn't.
Right.
So because I thought, oh, I'm not going to never get it. Oh,
right.
I'm, you know, there, and I'm losing hope. And,
right.
you know, I'm looking, I'm defeating myself before I even tried.
That's right.
I'm already defeated.
Right.
So because.
And you're not realizing that at the, you
yeah.
know, you can't realize that at the beginning, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, especially as a kid. I don't,
yeah.
but in my head.
Yeah,
I was already defeated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get it.
Right.
I'm not going to get it. I'm embarrassed
mm-hmm.
in class, you know, to get called out to read. And,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like even if they ain't laughing at me, it feel like they are.
Sure. That's right.
But, you know, and from the embarrassment and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff where I didn't want to do it.
Right.
I didn't want to do it. But once I made up my mind that this has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I want this, the determination and the, you know, then, I mean, and I still had, you know, because a lot of people would be like, oh, well, you know, as far as support and all that, I had a lot of people speaking against me.
Right, right.
But once
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I'm gonna change that. Even when I was younger, I had people encouraging me.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't encouraging myself. Then once I changed my mind and said this has to happen,
mm-hmm.
and even though I had people speaking against me
mm-hmm.
and saying, "Oh, you the same thing you said, I'm the black
mm-hmm.
sheep of the family,
mm-hmm.
I'm never gonna be this, I'm never gonna be that,"
mm-hmm.
let me show you.
There you go.
But once I said this has to happen, and I will not fail again, because because I got kicked out of high school and I
mm-hmm.
went to alternative school.
Mm-hmm.
And when I graduated and I got ready to go into high school, into college, and I decided I wanted to go, when I went to go take the entry exam, I failed.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is the basic of the basic.
Right.
And I failed and I was embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And even though I had been embarrassed all them years, this was a different type of embarrassment.
Right.
This was like, oh, I will never fail again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not failing again. I don't
there
like this feeling.
I don't
like
this
feeling.
That's right.
And I'm going to do it. I'm not
That's
walking
right.
away from this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's perception and it's the passion and determination
mm-hmm.
that it's not an option.
Right.
You have to take away that it's not an option. I have mm-hmm. to do this.
Right. Well, you know, there's an interesting thing that we have a new director. I just started in our department, and she had brought this group in. Actually, it's crime victims comp injury compensation out there in Maryland. And she brought them in to do this, you know how you do these personality tests?
Mm-hmm.
To try to find out about your skills and, you know, who you are, your personality and how you work and that kind of thing. Well, we all had to take this. And the purpose of her doing it was so that she would get to know each one of us and what our characteristics were, you know, how we worked and, you know, what our drives are and that kind of thing. And I've taken many of these before, and this one was absolutely on target with who I am. And I appreciated it so much because, you know, when you trying to describe to somebody who you are, this is
yeah.
me. This is really who I am. This is the first one of these kind of
personalities
that I've ever taken that really was on point all the
yeah.
way to no end. And so one of them was talking about I have a drive. I have a drive to the degree of accomplishment. Will not stop until it's done. And so she looked over to my director and said, if you want a job done, this is the person you give it to. They will take the project from the beginning and they will take it to the end. And it was so interesting because that's what I do. And it was, everything was right on point in every one of the categories. So I was just so impressed with that. Even though, you know, some of these things, you know, I don't pay that stuff no attention. But this one was really accurate. And sometimes when we are evaluating ourselves, that self-evaluation of who we are, what we stand for, you know, because sometimes I get sick of titles and all of that. I just get sick of all of that mess because people ride on it, and sometimes it's not really who they are. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? I
yeah.
just want to be Dr. So-and-so-and-so. I just want to be, you know, whatever. So, but to me, I'm just, you know, plain old ordinary country woman from West Virginia and have a heart and passion for people. But what I think happens is that we have to have that feeling of loving ourselves, and this was something that I wanted to bring out even before, and about with this domestic violence, and we talked about it a little bit, but you must love yourself. You cannot love another person until you love yourself.
Yeah.
There is no way you can love anyone else until you love yourself. So when you love yourself, that helps to kind of solidify, you know what I mean? It really
yeah.
puts a sealer on, and nobody can then get next to that. Nobody can't take that from you when you really love yourself. And a lot of times people look at me, you know, they look at the way I dress, and they think I dress at Saks Fifth Avenue and all these kind of crazy places. And when I tell them, you want to go to my boutique, and they say, where is it? I said, Value Village, honey.
yeah.
I said Value
yeah.
Village, you know, because yeah. when the rich woman takes it off of her back and hang it up in there,
that's
it's
right.
brand new going on mine. And I strut
that's
it
right.
well, okay?
Yeah.
And I love it, okay? I love it. I've always dressed out of the thrift store. And
yeah.
I am proud of that because what people don't understand is that this is nothing but a rag. And I have
right.
gone to church, and people have said to me, you know, I'm down on the floor ministering to somebody, and they crying all over me, and their makeup all over me. Who cares? because the Bible says we are as filthy rags, okay? So the thing that's important is to have the real love of God on the inside of your heart and to love yourself. Then you can love others and treat everybody the way you want to be treated, you know? So I think it's the same thing when you know, with your education. It's a proud moment in your life. It's a proud moment for your family, your children, but it's something that no one can give you. That's something that you give yourself, and I just applaud you, and I'm going to get your book.
Thank you.
I'm going to get that book. Yes, and I will share it with others. Yeah.
But, again, we have about 5 minutes left in our show once again. That 2 hours went in the blink of an eye, didn't it?
It sure did. It was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, goodness. It has been another wonderful, wonderful show. And thank you all so much for visiting with us in the chat room. Thank you, Yvonne, for stopping by.
Oh,
thank you.
Wonderful.
It's always good to talk to you, but I talk to you every day anyway. Yeah, I see her all the time on Facebook, so, yeah, we're there. And, you know, and again, I'm still out there plugging and promoting. I'm like, you know what, people, this is somebody you need to read the book and give these young people or anybody that encouragement that they need.
Yeah.
But it's been another wonderful show.
Yeah.
Again, ladies, thank you so much for joining me here.
Thank you.
I love doing this show because I get so energized when it's
absolutely
on. I'm like, I wish it could keep on, but thank you all again for joining us here on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. This evening, my special guests have been Reverend Patricia Saunders of the D.C. Alliance Empowering Homicide Survivors and, of course, my good friend Yvonne Pierre, author of the book The Day My Soul Cried. Go out and pick up a copy of that. Next week, our guest will be Judge Ramona Moore Baker. She was just newly reelected to the Judge of Orphans Court in Baltimore City. I'm looking forward to another guest that was at our summit last week. I did not get a chance to talk to her because there was so much going on. But I want to thank you ladies again for joining me here on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. You know, Yvonne, stop by again after you've done your homework. And Patricia, any week you want to join me here, Patricia, you're welcome. You know,
thank you.
It's wonderful to have you all, and I'm so glad that I'll be networking with you, Patricia and Yvonne.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm going to keep plugging and promoting you, my sister, because, yeah, you're like my idol. So, you know, yeah.
That's really
Your thing. Do your thing.
That's right.
So, you know, again, everybody, thank you again for joining us here on
Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio.
Thank you.
We will see you back here next week at 10 o'clock. Thank you so much.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us here on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. As always, we'd like to remind you that the views, statements, and or comments of show guests, callers, or hosts do not necessarily reflect the views or beliefs of the Wall Foundation Incorporated or Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. These comments are those of our guests, callers, and hosts alone. Therefore, the Wall Foundation Incorporated and or Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio is not party to nor liable for resolution of issues between show guests, callers, hosts, and or listeners. I want to thank you again for joining us here at Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. I'm your host, Maria Wall, and I look forward to seeing you back here next week when we'll bring you more real people, real stories, real hurt, and real healing. Until then, be well.
Thank you again for joining us. We will see you back here at our new time, which is 10 p.m. Eastern Time. As always, if you'd like to leave me a message, contact at thewallfoundationinc.org is my email, or 443-865-4211. Thank you for joining me here on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. We'll see you back here again next week. Have a wonderful remainder of your weekend and week.